This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:06 in the evening, and earlier, before the news, we were talking about, how cities are continuing to be popular for tourism, and that we are still in the top 10 most visited cities, but we're hanging on there at number 9.
Yeah, and then we kind of made relation to Khalid Samad's statement last week that entertainment outlets will have to close at 1 a.m. And we were just curious if you thought that that might affect that those tourist numbers maybe coming next year.
And also, just in general, are we doing enough to promote KL as a city for tourism? I mean, aside from our Twin Towers, what have we got? Because we're going to need to diversify. Again, you can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. A tweet from Sean who says, we're definitely not doing enough for tourism. Nightlife is one of the top considerations, especially for young adult tourists. It's not just for partying. Some people like to explore cities at night when it's cooler. And that's especially relevant for us, I think, in a tropical country.
And also, I think there's also late night dining that we have also. Mamak's also a tourist spot, to be fair.
Steve says, I would love if tourists came to visit us because of our wonderful Malaysians. That is the brand we need to build.
I think, wasn't that the original premise of Chuti Chuti Malaysia?
Well, and Malaysia truly Asia. Yeah? There's a lot of that. And I think that would be nice. I also think that our wonderful Malaysians also sort of need to agree to be wonderful Malaysians to one another. and then that brand can get stronger. Another message here from Melinda saying the coordination of tourism in Thailand is so on. The tourism ministry must engage Tourism Thailand to learn from them. For example, spas and pampering, golf, health, fitness and fun, sun and beach packages. And that's very true. It's also worth saying that the infrastructure of tourism in Thailand is very, very strong. It is easy to move around places. It's easy to kind of, it's easy to get packages like that as well.
And I think they also have a more focused tourism message. Here we, because we have so many things to offer, I feel, that we don't quite know where to land our marketing.
And an interesting insight perspective here from Wisely, who says, I'm in the tourism and hospitality industry. KL is just a gateway to all other states, such as Langkawi or KK. And I think that that is so true. People just drop by on their way to Malacca or Penang as well. Langkawi commands the highest hotel price in Malaysia. KL is still a favourite for many markets due to its diversity and culture. The tourism ministry must work hand in hand with relevant agencies to maintain and upkeep, especially in terms of safety. All in all, KL to most foreigners is still unique, and get rid of the tourism tax. My goodness. So, yes. Again, you can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio to weigh in terms of what you'd like to see in terms of branding for KL as a city for tourists.
And just very quickly also, I'm also just curious, you know, when you have friends coming from abroad, where you bring them to, because that's something I used to struggle with. But because, you know, when you live in a city, you don't necessarily see it as a tourism place for yourself. But when you do that for your own, like, you know, this year I just for the first time went to the bird park. That was quite a fun experience for me.
Harjit says, yes, close them at 1 a.m. Also close restaurants at 10 p.m. Many social ills can be reduced. I think that while we were having that conversation, a lot of people spoke about how they're shift workers. And I think this sort of timing, while it's great for people who are working regular hours, and I say great with a lot of caveats, I do think that for people who are working shift hours, this is not going to work. It's going to be, you know, kind of actively unfriendly for them.
The world is also generally unfair to evening owls, so...
Yes, there is that. Keep those messages coming. 018-789-8899 is that number to WhatsApp. And now moving on to our next story. It is the PTPTN saga that is never ending. So the Human Resources Minister, M. Kulasegaran, has said that the government will be is currently unable to force employers to deduct the monthly salaries of indebted workers who borrowed from PTPTN. And this is, of course... part of a plan that has been pushed for quite some time, and I suppose we're running into snags now.
Yes, just for context, recently PTPT and Chairman Wan Saiful Wanjian announced that borrowers earning above 2,000 ringgit a month will have their salaries deducted directly to pay for their loans. He said it'll be like the Inland Revenue Board system, and the tiered wage garnishment scheme will start in January next year at 2% for those earning between 2,001 ringgit and 2,499 ringgit. It'll be extended to 15% for those with monthly salaries of 8,000 ringgit or more.
So that's the context. And what's happening now is that M. Kulasekaran has said that the National Higher Education Fund Corporation Act would have to be amended first before it can instruct employers to make these deductions. But Kula also said that he can't say when or whether the act will be amended because it doesn't come under his ministry.
And he was responding to Malaysian Trades Union Congress President Abdul Halim Mansor, who questioned the legality of the scheme. The MTUC president said that the law only permitted mandatory wage cuts for selected statutory bodies such as the IRB, the EPF and also SOCSO.
So this is just one of the moves that might highlight that the country is, you know, now facing tough financial times. It is in need of funds. And at the moment, PTPTN's Facebook page is flooded with complaints and pleas for reconsideration of the new repayment mechanism, which they say is unfair and a breach of their existing contracts. And also, I mean, Port Dickson MP,
Anwar Ibrahim.
Yes, has also said that he agrees with that, that it is a breach of contract.
I think so. I think, you know, For those who have already started repaying their loans and perhaps even have gone to the offices, the PTPT offices, to negotiate with staff about how they can pay back based on not only how much they're earning, but also their living costs, it's unfair to them. But on the other side of it, I think maybe PTPT feels that their hand is forced because despite maybe a smaller amount of people coming in to actually with the intention to pay back their loans, there might be a larger group that don't want to pay back.
Yes, I think that is definitely what we're seeing, that larger group. And I don't know. I mean, for me, my concern is, does this make sense bureaucratically? Because on the one hand, you've got that easy deduction and it seems easy, but I wonder how
much... It's easy for EPF, it's easy for SOCSO because that kind of applies across the board.
Yes, but in the case of PTPT and lenders, it's going to be slightly different. Not everybody in the company is going to fall into that. Is it going to be as simple as filling out and submitting a form? It has to be made simple or it's just going to add burden, I think, to employers who kind of have to instate this. So I suppose we'll see what happens, and we're going to be hearing later from Mitul Lakhani, who's the Group CEO of iMoney, as well as Nirmala Subramaniam, Financial Education Manager at AKPK, to kind of take on that personal finance angle. But in the meantime, we're going to be headed to some messages. We'll be right back. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Because freedom matters. BFM 89.9.
This is the Evening Edition with Lynn and Kelvin. We are currently talking about the PTPTN repayment scheme. It was supposed to be automatic deductions from paychecks, and that has run into some complications. So we're now crossing over to Mitul Lakhani, Group CEO of iMoney. Mitul, thanks for joining us. So Human Resources Minister M. Kulasekaran, as we said earlier, has said that there is no law to compel the repayment of PTPTN loans through garnishing wages. In your view, is this initiative a good idea?
Look, I think from our perspective, we can understand why the government has taken this approach. Clearly, over the last few years, they've tried a number of different approaches to get people to repay their debts, including giving incentives such as a 20% discount if they were able to be settled by December, removing them from a travel blacklist, and so on and so forth. However, clearly this is a big issue. Clearly it affects sort of the overall debt and the fiscal situation of the country. So I can understand where the government's coming from. I think the challenge here, and we're going to have to take a view on this, and our view is that you can't force consumers and borrowers to contribute or forcefully take it out of their salaries without their consent. I think that's the key thing here. So legality is one. What it is and what it means for the consumer and whether you can do it without the consent is two. And I think the third thing is around the whole data privacy as well, because I'm made to understand that they can't really share that data today with the employers.
Speaking of employers, do you see any difficulties to implement this on the part of employers and organizations?
Yeah, I mean, look, from an employers and organizations perspective, you know, there are already several deductions that employers have to make. So I think from a process perspective, it should be relatively straightforward. Again, the devil's in the detail. However, clearly, you know, we don't want unhappy employees. We don't want employees coming to us and saying, hey, why has this been deducted, so on and so forth. So I think it's got to be, the communication's got to be right to consumers and employees for that matter. And it's got to be very clear that actually this is a government mandate and what are the reasons behind it. Get the consumers or the borrowers on side and let the, allow them to agree to it before sort of forcing the employers and organizations to go ahead and make this deduction.
So in your experience with clients, I mean, how much trouble do they generally have with monthly repayments of loans like PTPTN? Is it usually very difficult to allocate that amount every month?
I think it tends to vary depending on which segment you're talking about, right? Of course, the lower income guys are going to have a lot more obligations apart from just repaying loans. So clearly they're going to find it more challenging to repay the loans that they've taken out in the early days or the student days. However, if you look at, you know, non-performing loans as a percentage of all bank loans, and you look at sort of World Bank data, specifically for Malaysia from 2005 to 2017, the average value of non-performing loans as a percentage of total loans has varied between 3.78% to sort of, you know, 8 to 10%. So it's still relatively low in the context of things. But again, it's going to be on a case-by-case basis and obviously depending on which segment the borrowers fall within.
And in your view, is a 2% deduction for monthly salaries of between 2,000 and 2,500 ringgit generally a feasible rate?
I guess the objective word there is affordable. You know, our argument would be if it was affordable, then why aren't people repaying it anyways? So I think 2% of 2,000 at 40 ringgit seems affordable on the face of it, but I think you really got to look at, okay, why is it that people aren't paying this voluntarily in the first place today?
Mittal, thanks for your perspective. That was Mittal Lakhani, Group CEO of iMoney.
And now for a financial management perspective, we have on the line Nirmala Subramaniam, Financial Education Manager at AKPK, which is, of course, the Credit Counselling and Debt Management Agency. Nirmala, thanks for joining us. In AKPK's experience, what are the key factors affecting whether or not a borrower is able to successfully repay their debts each month?
So what do we see here is actually, we have seen clients who actually get overcommitted with other loans. Many young graduates, we see the problem is they tend to get themselves involved with a car purchase or a personal loan. And so when they get highly committed with these other loans, they do face the difficulties in paying up this first loan that they have taken. Also, we have seen cases where they did not get the job that pays them enough, and even sometimes to get a job. So, but on our side, the people who come to AKPK and with PTPTN problem is because they have actually committed themselves with other loans, and that's why they can't actually pay up this loan. So that's what we have seen at our end.
And usually, what sort of other loans do young graduates take?
Normally, they start off with the hire purchase, a car, to buy a car, and they proceed with the personal loan, credit cards. So normally, these are the first kind of loans that they would get themselves into. So we see the scenario of them taking up a hire purchase loan, and then when they can't really maintain, they start using the credit cards, and actually to resolve the credit card issues, they start taking personal loans. So it's like an ongoing cycle that just goes on. So because at AKPK, when we do a survey with those who come to us with financial problems, the main reason we find them falling into financial problems is because of poor financial planning. So this is what our stats says. Poor financial planning contributes to the main reason. And when we drill deeper, it's because actually they don't have the right education, the right knowledge to plan their finances better.
Nirmala, how large is this chunk of their salaries that we're talking about in terms of going towards repaying loans?
If we talk about ideally, we will say 40%. We always stick to the debt to income ratio, that we don't want anything more than 40% going for loan repayment. But that we also have to look at the income. If his income is 2005, 2006 and below, if 40,000 is already like close to 800-900 ringgit, and if that full amount is going to loan repayment, it's already a big sum actually, because you only have, let's say 2005, you take 40%, it's about 1,000 ringgit, and he only has 1,000 ringgit is already going for loan repayment. He only has 1,005 balance. It's quite hard to survive actually. So we don't recommend anything more than, if the salary is less than 2005, nothing more than 20%. But if the salary is like between 2005, 5,000, 6,000, then it should not go anything more than 40%.
And Nirmala, what advice do you have for borrowers so that they are able to make repayments each month with relative comfort?
Yeah, actually it's priority. We have to set the priorities right. So while studying, we know that we have actually committed to this loan and we know the payment repayment is coming. So when we actually enter the workforce, we should actually put in the plan to how do we actually settle up these loans first before we actually commit to take another loan. So every time we want to take a loan, what we would advise is look at these three factors. Number one is, is it for a productive purpose? Am I taking this loan to actually upgrade my living status? Am I upgrading my asset? Not upgrading lifestyle. Lifestyle is not something that we call productive. Then, of course, number two, we say, look at your affordability. So always calculate and maintain it below 40%, below what I can really afford rather than what the finances are actually giving me, because there's two different things there. So I have to actually budget down, see what I have to pay, and then look at this amount and see whether it's really affordable. Is it below this range? And of course, number three, we tell them also, please maintain a good credit record. So that's where the importance of paying up all these debts comes in, you know, because if you don't pay up these loans, then your credit records will be jeopardized and it will be an issue for you to actually take up another loan in future. So these are the three things that we really have to look at before we actually take up a loan.
Nirmala, thanks for speaking with us. That was Nirmala Subramaniam, Financial Education Manager at AKPK, the Credit Counselling and Debt Management Agency. Now, if you've got any thoughts about PTPTN repayments and how they can be structured, or just any feelings about that, you can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We've got one here from Tian Soon who says, come on, please pay up your loan. It is a loan, not a scholarship. I can't understand people who travel overseas every year yet claim to have no budget for PTPTN repayment. And that's a pretty common theme that's come through in the past when we've spoken about PTPTN.
Yeah, but to be fair, I think a lot of it is also quite anecdotal.
Yes.
I'm not sure if PTPTN or any other relevant agencies have done research into whether people are, you know, just not paying because they don't see it as a priority and they don't see it as money that they have used in the past to pay off their university.
Aaron says, we don't complain about EPF, SOCSO, even income tax, because it's already been accepted nationwide that this is mandatory. And we have set these deductions as defaults in our lives. PTPTN, on the other hand, we have these people who have this mindset that it's okay to not pay back the loan, which is why they find it hard, absurdly, to accept the fact that they simply have to pay their debts. It's been ingrained in their heads years and years ago. How many times have you heard people say, PTPTN, aya, no need to pay one la?
I've heard that a few times, to be fair.
Yeah, I've heard that. I've also heard the same thing going on with summons. You know, sometimes people receive parking summons and they go, ah, well, this one, no need to pay.
Just went to the discount and then we pay. Or, no need to pay, but we can still renew our license.
Yeah, but I think there is a growing seriousness about the PTPTN discussion. There was that idea that, oh, great, we're not going to have to repay it. And now that it's been made, no, we're going to come collecting. I think there's been a renewed sense of seriousness in kind of trying to address this. Deep And we've got, sorry, Deep, your message was about tourism, which we'll get to in a little bit. But Yuvaraj says, I think the biggest issue right now is not in terms of paying the loan, but the fact that the repayment scheme is going against what was initially agreed. Why penalize those who are paying promptly by increasing their burden? Which is a point, Calvin, that I think you made earlier.
Yeah. And also, to be fair, maybe the government needs to be a bit more considerate to those who are already paying loyally, I suppose, and maybe take harsher action against those who haven't been paying despite being able to.
Speaking of anecdotal evidence, I suppose, Ravi says, I had a sales engineer who took a PTPTN loan who made more than 8K a month who proudly said he hadn't started paying it back. So it's people like that, I suppose, that get people extremely riled up.
Yeah, and just on Twitter, I think this morning I saw someone who was complaining about this new scheme. But then when you scroll down his profile page, you see later that, yeah, I had just bought this like 600K property. And if you can buy a property of that price, I think you can definitely afford to pay your loan back.
Natasha says, it's all about priorities. I see many graduates earning 2K and buying Honda cars. I earn more than that, and I'm struggling to buy any more than a Myvi due to other commitments. And yeah, I agree with that. I also think that it's just such a great thing that a lot of the time when we're talking about money, people start talking in terms of car valuation. It's kind of the easiest way for everyone to understand immediately what you're talking about.
With cars, I think there is that pressure to have something nice. Honda seems to be like the middle class jump that you want. Myvi, because it's commonly hated on, maybe that's why they don't want that car.
Victor, I say let EPF help. Employees have 11% of their salary deducted. Why not ask EPF to hand over 2% to PTPTN? Fulfill your obligations before saving for your old age. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.